Good morning, and welcome to worship on this very beautiful Sunday morning. We have a lot to talk about today. We are focusing on Palm Sunday, of course, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but this is also what we call Passion Sunday, and we will tell the story of how Jesus moves from Jerusalem, from the entry into Jerusalem, all the way through Holy Week to the cross and his death on Good Friday. So that's all to come. But before we begin our time together today, we have a few announcements. You may notice that it's just going to be Pastor Rod today because Pastor Ryan is a bit busy. On Wednesday at 4:28 in the afternoon, Lauren Jerome gave birth to their son, named Declan Kurt Jerome. Everyone is healthy. Everyone is happy. Declan is a good-sized baby, 8.5 pounds, 21 inches long. But the good news is this family is doing well and getting stronger every day. So let's continue to celebrate with them and to hold them constant in all of our prayers. Also, I would like to give you an announcement today about worship, in-person worship during Holy Week. We still have a lot of space on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, so please sign up for those and attend if you feel comfortable in person. Otherwise, it'll be online like we've talked about before. But the weekend is starting to fill up. The 9:30 and 11 o'clock services are completely full. We have room at the 8 o'clock service and the 5:30 on Saturday. So if you are planning on coming to worship in person, please sign up as soon as possible. That concludes our announcements for today. Let's begin our worship the way that we always do. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a few moments to share that peace with the people around us. Our processional gospel today is written in the Gospel of St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the roads, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship today, our celebration of Palm Sunday, with the children's sermon.
Good afternoon, Joy Lutheran Church. Lindsay Peterson here, live just a little outside Jerusalem with some breaking news for you. Today, Jesus himself came in on a donkey, and I'm here with you with exclusive interview access with one of the most important people to help make this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live with Dewey the Donkey. Dewey, thank you for being here. We're so grateful. We just have a couple questions. Dewey, how does it feel to be the most famous donkey in the whole world?
Oh, hello, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, it really hasn't set in yet, the shock of all this. I'm really kind of a lone donkey. I really just stay by myself in the pasture, and, you know, I kind of get teased a lot sometimes because I'm so small and a little bit younger than everybody else, but well, for some reason, they still chose me.
Yes, Dewey, that brings me to our second question. We did hear that Horatio the horse, who's also your best friend, was slated as the number one pick for this event. Why do you think you were chosen?
Well, that's an easy one, Lindsay, because who could ever resist this face? If I'm being honest, though, Horatio is the king stallion, so it was just kind of a no-brainer. Since they were asking for a ride for a king, But I can admit that it felt different. Something about this felt different.
Yes, fascinating, fascinating, Dewey. Thank you. Well, let's hear a little more about Jesus. What was he like? Did he say anything to you?
You know, he didn't say one single word to me the whole time. And I have to admit, I was actually really scared. Everything happened so quickly. We started walking and then everyone started shouting and people were closing in all around us and it was really noisy and people started throwing things onto the road and I was so nervous I was gonna trip and fall. But honestly, Lindsay, it's like he knew that. And when I was the most scared, I felt him petting my neck. And it was almost like he was speaking to me and telling me that it was okay and all of my fear went away.
Wow, Dewey, magnificent story. You're so courageous. Tell me, has this event changed you?
Well, Lindsay, nothing's really changed for me that much. I still get up every day and I tow stuff and carry stuff and do all of the things that my job requires me, but something changed in me that day. I know everything's gonna be okay now. Does that make sense?
Yes, delightful, Dewey, yes. Last question for you. Dewey, if you could say anything to Jesus right now, right at this moment, Dewey, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I would definitely say thank you. There aren't even enough words to really say thank you in the way that I wish I could. I mean, all I did was give this awesome guy a ride. But he changed my life.
You know, Lindsay, and because of that, I'd really like to pray for us today. Is that okay? Great. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, and thank you for choosing me to be the one to carry him into all of our hearts. Help us remember that Jesus came to love all of us, even the lowly, stinky animals like me. We love you so much. Thanks for loving us too. And all God's children said, Amen. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. Catch you next time.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What an extraordinary animal. We're so grateful he was able to take some time to chat with us today. And wait, what's that? Okay, yep. I hear you, studio. It's time to get back to the service. Thank you. It's Lindsay Peterson live from a little outside Jerusalem. Back to you, Pastor Rod.
To whom the lips
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray together the prayer of the day. O God of mercy and might, in the mystery of the passion of your Son, you offer your infinite life to the world. Gather us around the cross of Christ and preserve us until the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the readings for today.
First reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Christ did not act to attain status and glory, but was obedient to God, even to the point of death. Following Christ's example, we do not seek personal status or glory, but care for others as God cared for us in Christ's death. The reading. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the reading.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th and 15th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priest and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and to say to him one after the other, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want. He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none, for many gave false testimony about him, and their testimonies did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We have heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then, after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times." And he broke down and wept.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels, who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had not come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in linen cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So the Passion narrative, the story we have from the Gospel of Mark, it starts with a woman who does something that's kind of strange and really extraordinarily extravagant. She had an expensive jar of ointment, perfumey type ointment. It was really anointing oil that people used when someone had died. They treated the dead bodies with nard. This whole big jar was worth a whole bunch of money, right? But she took the jar of expensive perfume and suddenly, unexpectedly, she poured the entire content over Jesus' head. I would not have liked that. I would have had an asthma attack. And besides, I hate slimy, icky lotions and perfumes. It's just gross. I can't imagine having a whole jar of this sticky perfume poured over my head. But that's exactly what she did. It was weird. And it was a big deal. Well, just like now, everyone back there had an opinion about absolutely everything. What the heck, they said. What in the world is she doing? Is she crazy? Is this woman out of her mind? You know that jar of fancy old perfume? That was worth a lot of money. All that money could have been used to feed the hungry or clothe the naked or to help people in need. But we know, 2,000 years later, they didn't say those things out of some sense of altruism. They weren't really concerned about the people living in poverty. Or I should say, I guess, Judas was not concerned. He was more worried about getting his grubby little hands on that cold, hard cash. It just doesn't matter. We can blame Judas all we want, but the truth is we're no different. We do the same thing all the time. We protest people and ideas and things out of our own self-interest all the time to protect what we have and what we think we deserve. So just understand, things have not changed all that much. But in the midst of this extraordinary action of pouring out the anointing oil, this jar of nard, this woman who loved Jesus was making a statement. She was, in fact, preparing his body for his upcoming death. It was an announcement. May I have your attention, please? I have something to say. This man, this teacher of yours, our Lord Jesus of Nazareth, he's going to die now. He was born to die, but now is the time. And right at this moment, he has 1 week to live. So there you go. That's how we start. Happy Palm Sunday. Jesus has 1 week to live. What would you do? I mean, if today I told you that you have exactly 1 week to live, what would you do with that 1 week of life? Would you go and climb a 14er? Or maybe book a flight and travel all the way to Africa and climb Mount Kilimanjaro? Would you eat all the foods that you have denied yourself? I mean, seriously, if you had 1 week to live, who cares about cholesterol? Bring on the Chicago deep dish pizza every single day, breakfast, lunch, supper, every single meal, pizza for a week. Would you drink yourself senseless? Would you throw a big old party, invite all your friends, get completely wasted? Would you just go home? Would you just go home to be with your family? Would you hold your wife? Would you kiss your husband? Would you cry over and with your children? Would you go to church? I mean, would you come here, you know, to get right with the Lord? And just to make sure, you know, would you confess your sins so that you felt and knew that you were a beloved child of God in those last moments and that all your sins were forgiven, so that you would be ready to see your God face to face and enter into eternity. What would you do if you had 1 week to live? Well, I want to tell you today what Jesus did with his last week, and I'll make it quick, don't worry. He began by staying at the home of Simon the leper. Isn't that something? How would you like to be known as Simon the leper for all history, written in the book of God, right? I mean, that's like saying Rod the hypothyroid, naming someone based on their disease. The name was designed to keep people away because Simon the leper, he was unclean. He was unacceptable. He was inaccessible. He was unloved by everybody, but not for Jesus. Jesus went to his house. Jesus stayed in his home. Jesus ate food with this man because he loved him. Even if no one else would, even if other people said it was wrong, that's how he began the last week of his life. Then he went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples, his best friends, who had worked by his side, who had engaged in his ministry actively, embraced his mission, who had learned his words and witnessed his deeds, who gave their lives to Jesus day after day after day for 3 years. Well, he wanted to eat with them. He celebrated the Passover with his friends. But he did it wrong. He changed the words. He changed the meaning of the day. He messed it all up. He took bread and he connected it to his body. He took wine and said it was his blood. He talked about forgiveness and a new covenant and all kinds of things that didn't quite make sense to these men who had followed him. They couldn't accept what he was doing. They couldn't tolerate the goal that God had set for this mission. They didn't want Jesus to die because they loved him. But now at that point, he only had a couple days left to live. So he gave them this gift, forgiveness through him, through his body, through his blood, through this new promise. Martin Luther said in the Small Catechism, where there is forgiveness, there is life and salvation. So that night, Jesus gave them life. Then you all know the rest. The garden, the arrest, the mockery of a child trial, the crucifixion. Yeah, that's what Jesus did with his last week of life here on earth. He suffered and died. And I'd like to take a moment to point out what he did not do. No resistance when he was arrested. No defense in front of his accusers. No protest when this angry, irrational crowd called for his demise. No fight when the soldiers mocked him, beat him, spit on him, stole the clothes off of his body. No deviation from his mission, even though he was afraid, even though he struggled with doubt, even though it hurt so badly. Make no mistake, this was not a good, peaceful death. It was violent, it was horrible, and it was so hateful. So why? Why did he do it? I mean, most of us, if we had 1 week to live, we would focus on what we wanted because our wishes, our hopes, our dreams, our unfulfilled goals would suddenly become our highest priorities. But when Jesus knew he had 1 week to live, he didn't think about himself. He didn't try to do the things that he hadn't done before. He didn't indulge in food or drink or any desires of his own flesh. Instead, he held you in his heart. He held me in his heart. He thought about us. He thought about God. He thought about the salvation that this week, this act of love, this discipline would bring into this tired, old, hurting, and broken world. It is absolutely beyond anything I can imagine. I can't comprehend. Maybe I don't want to comprehend that in the last week of his life, he was thinking about you and me. So he kept going. Just like the lesson from Philippians said, every step of the way, he poured out his life. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He was obedient to God. And he carried out the plan. Jesus died for us so that we can live. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
It's my joy to honor you.
We continue our worship this morning by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our service now by joining our hearts and minds together and raising up our prayers to our God. So let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent your Son into this world to carry out a mission to rejoin us with you. And he became flesh. He did not regard equality with you something that he could grasp, but instead he poured out himself. He poured out his life in obedience to your will. We are so grateful. We are so humbled. And we thank you that you love us so much. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we will witness this Holy Week once again the violence that was done against your Son. We also see violence that's happening in our world. And we remember today the victims of the mass shooting in Atlanta and the victims of the mass shootings in Boulder. And we stand before you today and we cry out, hear our cry, Lord. Make it stop. Make this kind of hatred and violence stop. We ask this in your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray for those in need today. We pray for the sick or the suffering, for all those who are broken, for all those who have had significant losses in their life this week. We ask that you surround them with your love and grace, that you uphold them and that you give them strength. And we do pray for all the victims of the tornadoes and terrible weather down in the southeast part of the United States. We ask that you help these people rebuild their lives and use us as instruments of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also ask that you be with us as we continue to emerge from this pandemic of COVID. Things seem to be opening up a little bit, so we ask that you grant us patience and grace and understanding as we make this transition back to some semblance of what we had before. Lord, in your mercy. And a lot of reasons to celebrate today. We welcome new children, young people, to receive your body and blood, the promise of forgiveness given to us in this new covenant. This Holy Week, we ask that you watch over all those who will have their first communion. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we celebrate with the Jerome family this morning. We give you thanks, O Lord, that Declan Kurt Jerome has arrived into this world, into our family. We ask that you help us to surround them all with the love and peace and grace that you've given us, and help them to know in their hearts that this is their home. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. Again, this morning we have our offering in our own homes or here on site, and just think about what God has offered us first. Continue our worship with the great Thanksgiving as we move into the communion portion of our worship. But today is a special day, like I said. Every day of Holy Week, we're going to be welcoming certain young people to the table. Today, we welcome Colton Williamson, who will be having his first communion in his home with his family. So we ask God's blessings on you today, Colton. But also, this weekend, Audrey Rickerford and Max Perrin both will receive their first communion. And we do pray God's blessings on the two of you as well. And I have one question I need to ask you, Colton at home, and I will ask Audrey and Max here in person. There's only one thing required to be ready to receive Holy Communion. What is it? Say it now, loud and proud. A believing heart. That's all that is required. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross has opened his arms to all people. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we ask that you pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, the holy body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. We join together in praying the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you all to receive the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God of steadfast love, at this table you have gathered your people into one body for the sake of this world. So we ask that you send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit, that our lives will bear witness to the love that has made us new. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we are exactly what God has created us to be. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as holy and beloved, set free to serve our neighbors. So now, may God bless us so that we may be a blessing to this entire world. In the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn. Peace to share the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.